The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Week 13 is here. Feels a little earlier, a little discombobulated. Rankings show last night. I know we're usually here on Wednesdays, but we're here earlier in the morning to try and get you guys set up for the holiday. If you guys got some drive, listen along with the wife or the girlfriend on the ride. If you got a little commute.
That's exactly what they want. They want to hear us for an hour.
I had one tweet today. A guy said he had to vote down the Christmas music with the wife decorating, getting ready. So he said, you know what? I'm going to throw on. When's the podcast coming?
Well, maybe
we'll be big with the female listeners for the holiday season.
You know what? If the missus there wants a nice little Christmas gift, maybe she needs to let him listen to the pod and we can.
Cash talks.
Exactly right.
Cash money monies. I also, if I have time, I went to see Creed 2 last night. I have a review if we want to do that in the end.
Okay. I haven't gotten out to see a movie in a while.
No?
No.
You don't get out to movies in football season?
Gosh.
How about this? How many movies have you fallen asleep to on a plane this season?
None. None. The last movie that I watched on a flight was Three Identical Strangers, and it was awesome.
All right.
I wouldn't really call it a movie. I'd more of a documentary that you need to watch. It was I didn't know about this story is beyond me. And it was just unbelievable. Just watch it.
All right. Got it. You'll be on a plane Friday?
Friday, 5:30.
A.M.?
A.M.
Columbus.
BDL, DTW, CMH.
All right. I'm sure they'll be waiting for you in open arms in Columbus.
Why wouldn't they?
What a different... When's the last time Michigan was favored there?
Probably 2000, right? Or were they favored there in
06, no, right?
No, not 2000, because 2002 was the Ohio State wound up winning the title, and they were a small favorite. So 2000, I would gather the last time they won there was 2000. I would imagine that would be it.
We'll definitely do some...
Actually, I have all that information here, I believe.
That's why I'm asking you, buddy. Teeing you up.
Michigan hasn't been favored in the series since 2011, but yeah, a 2000 game was... You want me to give you the Ohio State-Michigan spread tids right now, or do you want to wait?
We'll wait. Okay. I just wanted to... I thought you had it off the top of your head. My bad. All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go... We got a ton of picks. I call them office pool picks, Bear, because, you know, we're all... Obviously, everybody's in an office pool. Mm-hmm. Pick them, you know. I got a bunch of those that I'm not sure if I'm strong enough to put in the column. But right. I'm gonna give them out for the people on the podcast. You know,
holiday
edition. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go and try and keep this podcast in order of games this weekend. So obviously we got some action last night that happened.
I know. I had a couple of texts last night from buddies asking about action, and I should have sent out tweets, but I feel bad.
I'm sorry.
Because they asked him like, I had someone text me asking about like. 10-point teasers with Maction. Like, I don't know if he had one open. I don't know. So jeez. I said tease Miami of Ohio down to 7.5 and tease Western up to 16. So
Miami of Ohio. Confusing
good,
team.
Good for them, man. Get into a ball game after the start.
I'm watching that Army game earlier this year. They were good. Should have won that game. But, yes, correct. Watch out for them in bowl season.
Yeah, while the MAC has not necessarily had great results in bowls lately,
a couple
lately,
years ago they scared the crap out of Mississippi
State.
They're
one team in the MAC that I could, depending on the matchups.
Good quarterback. All right, so what we're going to do? We got games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, plenty of importance in all these games. I know that the slates haven't been great to watch, but what we're going to do is try and tell you why you should watch because you're going to have a side. Or a total, and get this week 13 right. We need some juice.
I got plenty of juice. I got a list of a bunch of teams here whose games hinge the season win totals hinge on this week.
Whoa!
I want to know the person out there that's holding Texas State over 3.5 on the year and needing them to pull a home upset over Arkansas State to get to 4.
Color out that barcode and tweet us that ticket. I need to see Texas State over 3.5 because. You, my friend, should be taking it all in this week.
I want to know who's got your boy Ehlers and the ECU Pirates over 3. Can they pull the upset over Cincinnati to get to 4?
Mm-hmm. Like that.
Doubtful.
Over. Like that over. All right. So here we go.
I want to know who's got Colorado over 5, and you look like you were golden. You start 5-0, and you fall in just off a cliff.
And I don't think you have a prayer this week.
I don't think you're going to Berkeley and winning.
No.
I got a bunch of these games, by the way. It's so much fun.
Who's got Maryland? I do.
There are three games this week where the total hinges on the result for both teams.
Wow. Is Penn State one of them?
Nope. Bucket. Penn State's already under. They were not
Indiana,
in
Purdue.
Bucket.
That's a bowl game.
Egg Bowl.
Ooh.
And Texas Tech Baylor. All go one way or another depending on who wins and loses.
Wow.
Who says there aren't things to talk about this week and it's not a great slate?
So let's do it. Let's go Thursday night. Egg Bowl, Mississippi State at Ole Miss, 7:30, ESPN. Tune in. It's going to be better than the NFL game, I promise you. I'm taking.
Aren't there like 7 NFL games on Thursday now?
3.
3?
Yeah. Speaking
of zero.
10-team teasers.
Well, don't worry. I got another money line parlay for you this week.
By the way, way to bury the lead, Steve. What are we like, 27-0 if we go with the parlays?
Hey, I should have been doing this earlier.
8-12 or 20, right? Or 8? Was that the last one?
I think one was 13.
21-0. I'm just going to put that in your record.
Because they put that in your Christmas stocking.
You only get one win for those money line parlays.
Well, I haven't been adding those to my column. Should I add them to the column?
Why not?
Nah, I'm not going to. That's
people
not right.
know.
That's not right.
It's awesome. And you have another one? How many teams?
1, 2, 3. I got 8.
8. All right.
And then potentially a ninth. North Texas is kind of up there in price. And I don't know if there'll be a money line on a 24
might not
and
even
a half,
be
25.
Worth it putting them in
I was
going
to say it might not be worth it. Yeah. So we'll keep it at 8.
All right. That coming after Brad Edwards will join us. Old friend, old roommate of the Bear. Old guy for me on College Game Day, ESPN Radio, when I used to produce that. He's still doing that show. We're going to talk rankings with him and just get some stuff out there. We look at the rankings. Obviously, people don't know what to say because nothing's happening in the top, but we'll try and get some thoughts out of Brad and maybe a pick on a scenario that he laid out for us last week on Twitter. All right, I'm going Egg Bowl. I'm going over 59 between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I've talked plenty this year about Ole Miss and how I just don't think much of their defense at all. I think Mississippi State is really finding their ways in the running game. Obviously, Fitzgerald's had the throwing issues, accuracy, a big problem with those. But I think Moorhead's found a fine line. And, I just think it's a good mix. Ole Miss is just going to throw deep balls and 9 routes all day. Figured they hit a couple of those. Last year was the huge upset because Fitzgerald got hurt in the third play.
It was
bad. And Ole Miss got a huge win. This one's in Oxford. I think points will be plenty. I could see the winner of this game scoring high 30s. So we're going to go over 59 in the Egg Bowl Thursday night.
Tough beef for Ole Miss last week.
Brutal. Brutal.
I think they kind of got screwed.
Yeah, I don't know how you overturn that.
Yeah, I mean, it's what was clear about the overturn. Full disclosure, we needed Vandy for But what that basically did was eliminate a position where you could hedge this week in like a toss-up game against Tennessee. So. That was tough. I don't have anything Friday, but I can
Saturday.
I have a bunch Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to hold off on Oklahoma because we're going to talk that with the big games at the end. Saturday, Nooner, Tallahassee?
I got a couple of Nooners. Tallahassee.
Let's go Tallahassee.
Florida State winning the way they did last week. Long touchdown pass to give them hope. To get to 6 wins, to keep that bowl streak alive. They have really done very well against the Gators lately.
5 in a row?
Yeah, and offensively, Florida has really struggled against the Noles.
Mm-hmm.
Gators are up to 6.5. You want to lay 6.5 with that offense?
I saw it when it first opened Sunday, you know, those openers. I thought I saw four.
Yeah, it's gone
and
up.
I was like, all right, I like four. And now 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5 I've seen at Westgate. And
yikes.
In that game, now that you got a chance to, like, salvage a little something out of the year to beat your rival again, get to a bowl game and maybe have a winning season, maybe I'm sure whatever guys are draft eligible like they did last year in that bowl game would sit out. But it's an opportunity for a lot of guys to play and a chance to end what appeared to be a really – I mean, there was a point where they were looking at like 4-8.
Yes.
But they've won a couple of games, and give them credit for doing that. And I think they show up, and whether it's good enough to win Saturday, we'll see. But I'm definitely on Florida State plus the 6.5.
What do you think that crowd's going to be like?
I think there'll be a lot of Florida fans there. But I do think the fact that – It means something now for them if they can get to 6, and it is Florida who they can't stand. I think it'll be close to a sellout.
Will there be a noticeable empty area of the stands?
Yeah, I think there will be. I think there will be.
All right, that's what I was saying. Florida State, I know what you guys are all about, but a chance to salvage some things, and obviously not a
by the
successful
way,
season.
Gators need to win that game to go over the 8.5.
Wow. See, I like Florida to win the game and not cover now with 6.5. So you with Florida State, sir. Circle back real quick Thursday night. What old school Chris Felica getting after it, not having to work, just going to take all in game day atmosphere. Would you rather be in Pullman or Morgantown? I've been thinking about these two places for months.
I would say Pullman. Close.
Wow.
Real close. Just because of the rivalry history there and the fact that they haven't beaten them in forever and they're favored and what's potentially at stake for them. If they were to win that game, be completely off the hook. Well, it would be completely off the hook in Morgantown if they win that game. I just think the rivalry in itself would make the Apple Cup just a little bit of an edge over Morgantown.
I've thought about this a lot as I was, you know, we were in Pullman.
I'm sure you have.
They're two of my favorite places in America, and there's way, way more nervousness in Pullman.
There should be.
Way more.
There should be.
But the mentality of the people.
Yeah, there should be.
You know, Morgantown is just going to be like not as Morgantown will be more similar to what it normally is, but it's that good. It's that crazy. They're that awesome.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't want to say Washington State fans aren't real, but
no.
West Virginia fans, like I remember a couple of years ago when Oklahoma went up there and kicked the crap out of them. They booing, leaving. I mean, if the ship's going down, they will get on their team like forget it.
Correct.
So
they do know how to enjoy themselves, though. I love both those places for that. So I can't wait. That's a two TV night. Absolutely.
You got a feel on Oklahoma, West Virginia?
I told you, I love Pullman. I love Morgantown. But I think both teams are going to lose. I'm sorry.
So you like OU minus the 2.5?
I like both road teams to win on the field.
I vowed after last week that I'm not going to disagree with you again because Purdue.
People were mad.
I know people were
people
mad.
People said it was
they
like worse than hearing your parents
so
fight.
I'm not going to go. I don't want to go on record as officially disagreeing with you, but I kind of.
Who do you like better? If you were going to differ on one pick, one or the other, which one do you like more?
If I had to differ with you on one of them,
yep.
I would differ with you in Morgantown.
You like West Virginia?
One I would. I know OU has dominated the series, but gosh, that defense scares me.
Which one?
Oklahoma more so.
I just
especially on the road.
West Virginia too.
They
can't couple of those lulls,
anyone.
Man. I know, but
yeah.
They might score 60.
That's why I don't want to officially disagree with you because, you know, A, we don't like doing that, and B, I don't have a total, absolute, strong conviction on it.
Okay. All right. So let's do that. We did the night games from Friday. A little discussion there.
OU needs a win, by the way, to go over 10 for the season as well.
That's
pushed
right.
10-2. They were 10.
That's right. And I believe they pushed. No, 2 years ago, I think it was. All right. So you got a little egg bowl there. You got a nooner from Bear on Saturday. A couple leans from me on Friday night. I have one more Friday.
You know what? I shouldn't lie. Friday does matter because of my money line parlay. So I should probably rip it off in the Friday segment now, right?
Throw it out there. Let's do it.
Cincinnati, big favorite.
Yep.
Against East Carolina. Ohio U, big favorite against Akron. Texas, Friday, favorite. They're not losing to Kansas.
Okay.
Missouri, big favorite against Arkansas.
Almost gave them up.
Toledo, big. Not going to lose. Georgia, they're not going to lose to Georgia Tech. FAU, needs a win to get bowl eligible. They're going to win this week. And Louisiana Tech against Western Kentucky, who I also like minus the 10.5 as one of my regular picks for the column. You look at Western's last three road games, lost by 26, lost by 19, lost by 19, and La Tech needs that game to go over the win total as well. So 8-game money line parlay this week. Cincy, Ohio U, Texas, Missouri, Toledo, Georgia, FAU, Louisiana Tech, and if you have a money line on North Texas that can get you a couple of extra bucks, they shouldn't lose to UTSA either.
Okay. Roadrunners, not a good year. All right, so you got plenty of picks there. Let's do this. Let's talk to Brad Edwards, and then we'll give the rest of our picks on the back end, along with a little discussion looking ahead to the Bears weekend. We'll be back right after this. We welcome in Brad Edwards, College Game Day, ESPN Radio. You'll be home this weekend. Next week, Charlotte, ACC tilt. Never know. Are you shaking your head because of the weather possibilities or the game?
No, the game. The game. Look, Pitt just lost an offensive lineman on top of what a mismatch it already was. And it's nothing against Pitt. I mean,
Clemson's a mismatch for nearly anybody.
Clemson
except
against
for Alabama.
Anyone in that conference is a complete mismatch right now.
Correct. Totally agree. Wanted to have you on, obviously, to discuss the rankings playoff. Forecasting, you know, what looks ahead. I also want to get to a thought I heard you talking about last week in your Alabama kicking game. I wanted to get your sense on that if we have a critical third or fourth down early in the Iron Bowl. But let's look at last night. I mean, obviously the top four doesn't change. The tension is building. We haven't had anything what we've had in years past from a shake up the rankings, upsets, double-digit dog winning on the field, shake things up. UCF's up to 9. LSU's, say, at 7. Georgia, Bear, I know you've been on this one. Let's start there. Michigan 4, Georgia 5. Your thoughts with that, Brad?
I would have Georgia ahead of Michigan. I just think they're a little bit better team. Now, does it mean anything in the grand scheme? No, at least not that I can see. Uh-huh. But ultimately, Georgia's going to have to beat Alabama to get into the playoff. And that's, completely independent of whatever Michigan does. And so while I may think that Georgia's a little bit better, the fact that they're 5 instead of 4, it's not really going to make any difference in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised that it almost feels like there are a couple of assumptions being made. I think there is the assumption that Georgia's going to lose to Alabama anyway, and why put them 4 now? And I wonder if there's almost a little bit of Big Ten champ has been left out of the playoff the last couple of years. And subliminally, even though there's turnover in the conference, in the playoff committee, that it's like, let the Big Ten champ, the leader right now, let's put him there. But I think you can make a case, like you said, that Georgia is a better team than Michigan on the field. If you look at efficiency ratings, Michigan's 12 in offense, Georgia's 3, defense, Michigan 4, Georgia's 6, schedule, Georgia has a slight advantage, strength of record, Georgia has a slight advantage. Top 15 wins, where the committee usually will value wins against two teams they think are good. Georgia's got 2 top 15 wins away from home against the committee top 15. Michigan's got 1 at home. So I'm using a lot of their own criteria. I'm surprised that Georgia at least is in 4 for right now.
I think people are holding on to this preseason perception that the Big Ten is a really good conference.
Yeah.
Because we thought before the year there were, what, five playoff contenders
in the
Big Ten?
Were there five of the top 14 in the preseason ball?
So let's go through them. Ohio State, even though they're still sitting there in contention, I don't think there's any question they've been a disappointment. Not nearly as good as people thought they would be. Wisconsin, not close. Penn State, not as good as people thought. Michigan State, definitely not as good as people. So who has Michigan beaten in the Big Ten that you would prop up as this is a great win? I don't think there is one. I don't think there is such thing as a great win in the Big Ten unless you beat Michigan. So, I mean, Ohio State could get a great win this week. Right. But, look, winning in Columbus is still a very good win. It's not like Ohio State's
bad. For a team that hasn't won there in 18 years.
Yeah, but this would be, to me, far and away the best win that Michigan would have if they get it on Saturday. I don't know what they've done up to this point that you would latch onto on their resume.
At Northwestern on a Saturday.
Come on. I mean, look.
Down 17-0. Hey, that's my favorite part people bring it up. Well, why were they down 17-0?
Yeah. No, look,
in one of the first games, I think Northwestern played without Larkin as well.
Yeah, it might have been the first one. I don't know. But if you look at Northwestern, sure, they've won, 14 out of the last 15 in the Big Ten. Yeah. But look what they did at a conference.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, look. I realize there was a lot of fluky stuff happening in the Akron game. But you have to allow it to be
Duke,
close.
Correct.
Duke controlled that game from start to finish in Evanston.
All right, so from there, let's go backwards. I have an issue with Wazoo being behind Oklahoma. I think when you watch them, there's a definitive difference. Wazoo, you could say what you want. They don't have any names or draft guys on their defense. They play defense. And also, they've won games differently, in different ways, where Oklahoma just gets out and, all right, let's roll the balls out. You guys got the ball. All right, we'll take it back, you know? Like that, it was all set up to Cougar against Cal, and they won a low-scoring game.
You know what Oklahoma's games remind me of is when you play, like, full-court pickup basketball, and after about 5 minutes, some of the guys who are, like, old and out of shape, they get tired. They stop running the floor. They stop getting back on defense.
Yep.
That's what Oklahoma's games look like.
That's a great call.
You know, and so most of the time, it's like 3-on-2. 3-on-2 back the other way. And that's what it's been. I mean, you're right. I mean, with Washington State, I don't know how good the offenses are that they're playing against in some of these cases. But, you know, they had was it 19-13 against Cal?
Yeah.
I mean, that couldn't happen in an Oklahoma game.
No chance.
I mean, they're 95th in the country in defensive efficiency, Oklahoma. 95th. There were 130 teams. They're 95th.
And what were they, around 60 last year?
No, before last week, I heard somebody say they were better this year than they were last year. And
I don't believe that.
I
don't think it was efficiency. It was one of the
total
big
defense,
total defense.
No, I would go with efficiency.
Yeah, just because of the rate stats with Big 12 games.
And I think going into the playoff last year, they were around 60th. Which is bad, but this is a different level of bad.
Yes.
Like, so I think they're worse defensively.
Kansas was going up and down in a big spot, you know, where you know all eyes are on you. How about an impressive win?
So here's the question. I've heard people who are defending Oklahoma say, look, their offense is so good, they're going to score on anybody, so the defense it's not as significant. Well, look, I would question, who has Oklahoma played this year that's good defensively, especially if you start looking at comparing those defenses to the teams they could face in the playoff? You know, Alabama, Clemson, mm-hmm. Notre Dame, Michigan. Kyler Murray has not been under pressure. He has a very good offensive line, and they're playing against, I mean, how many?
You know who the best defense was they played?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
It's
Iowa State efficiency wise. Yeah.
No, it's Army's offense. Army's offense.
Yeah.
No, no doubt about it.
You're right. but no, I mean, I realize that that Texas probably has some talent. I'd like to ask this to someone like McShay, who does this for a living. How many future NFL front seven players has Oklahoma faced the entire season? The entire season.
Counted on one hand, probably.
And I bet Alabama or Clemson, either one of those teams, has as many on their roster
in the conference
as everyone Oklahoma's played so far to this point.
Absolutely. I totally agree. That's a great point.
Now, with Washington State, I think a lot of it's coming down to the perception of the Pac-12, which, frankly, they've made their own bed with some of those losses.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what would happen if they do win the Apple Cup finally, if they do win the Pac-12 championship and they're sitting there at 12-1 like Washington was a couple of years ago when they had a terrible schedule and didn't beat anybody really throughout. Non-conference, terrible. Colorado was a great win in the fluke Colorado year. So I'll be curious to see if the path for Wazoo is as simple as Oklahoma losing to West in Morgantown and Michigan losing to Ohio State. Do they then become a team in control of its destiny?
You know what would really help Wazoo? I don't think it's going to happen. In fact, I'd be surprised if the game is close. But if USC could knock off Notre Dame.
Oh, God.
If USC beat Notre Dame on the same field where they beat Washington State. Now, all of a sudden, if you're the committee, you can't look at that as a bad loss. You know, and I don't think they look at it as a bad loss.
No.
But it's not, I mean, it's not what you would say
is a quality
loss.
There's still a double-digit favorite in a game that they need to win to make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a team that's, you know, playoff caliber shouldn't be losing to USC this year. And that is their one loss. And I recognize there was some weird stuff going on with the officiating and replay and all that. But yeah, look, even if USC played a really close game against Notre Dame, it would certainly help the impression of that loss that Washington State
had. Could you imagine SC, they do win that game, six wins, two of them are against teams that are like in the top eight in the country. They beat Wazoo and they beat Notre Dame.
I heard some numbers that Notre Dame going into this game, did they lose in 1980?
I don't know. I don't know what year.
I forgot it was.
I do know this. I looked this up because people love
to say. I got one too.
Okay.
You go.
People love to say, oh, rivalries. You throw out the records. Well, some rivalries, that's true, and some that it's not. I looked it up is because the top three teams are all playing a rivalry game this week against an unranked team.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it within that scope. Okay. Top five versus unranked. Say, Notre Dame has eight previous times been ranked in the top five against an unranked USC. They are 4-3-1 in those eight games, and three of the four wins are by single digits. So Notre Dame, there's been a pucker factor with Notre Dame when they've been top five against an unranked USC. One team that's not, Alabama. Alabama has had 16 times they've been in the top five against an unranked Auburn. They're 16-0. Only two of those games have been decided by single digits.
Yeah, to get back on your Notre Dame USC, I actually had a similar thought, and I went back and looked at whether Notre Dame or USC either in the top five against an unranked opponent, and I cut it off at 90, just kind of a nice round number. Since 1990, six instances where there's been a top five Notre Dame or USC taking on an unranked Notre Dame or USC. The top five team won all of them, and only one was by less than 9 points.
Okay.
So recently, the upsets haven't happened
yet. I can't tell you.
I get in the 70s and the 80s.
Yep.
And that one game was 9 a couple of years ago in 2012 when Notre Dame was clearly
better. But I can also tell you that on the other side, USC has never lost to an unranked Notre Dame when they were in the top five. And that's why when you're looking at recent years, more of those are USC in the top five.
Yeah,
On the Notre Dame side, there is a history. But you're right, Felica. It hasn't happened in quite a while.
And the other thing, too.
It hasn't been that often in the last 30 years Notre Dame's been in the top five.
We haven't had those. This year, top five teams against unranked teams are 40-1. We haven't had. Last year, they were 38-5. 2016, they were 35-6. We've had unranked teams pull big upsets the last couple of years. This year, they just haven't happened. And you got four this week. You got Alabama-Auburn. You got Clemson-South Carolina. Yeah, Notre Dame SC and Georgia Tech, four of the top five against an unranked team this week, and they're all massive favorites, and I have a hard time seeing any of them lose.
Yeah, the one that I would gravitate toward first would actually be Georgia Tech, because of Georgia Tech's offense. And Georgia at times this year has struggled against the run, but I don't see how Georgia Tech stops Georgia from
scoring.
Tech's
beat them last couple of years in Athens, too.
But Georgia would have to turn the ball over a few times because I don't see how else Georgia Tech could keep Georgia out of the end zone.
Yeah, Georgia, to me, too, goes into some of these lulls offensively. Just one quick thought back to Notre Dame SC because I keep thinking about it, and everybody keeps bringing up Notre Dame in 2012. It's just not a fair comparison. For Notre Dame.
I'm going to raise – I don't have my number two pencil here. I have my pilot pen. I'm going to say that so fast, my friend, and raise that up to you. We'll get back to that in a second.
Okay. In 2012, there was – I had an outside feeling that SC could beat them. This year, I do no way. No way.
I'm with you. I felt the same way going into that game. Like, there was a shot because that Notre Dame team offensively
was so challenged.
Yeah, they did have games where they had trouble scoring.
And Brad, I've been saying this all year to people that just keep, and I, you know, it comes up again, 2012 Notre Dame. Oh, they'll get buried by Alabama again. It's just so evident to me, these people that don't give Notre Dame credit, they haven't watched them this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I thought numerically everything you said. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
In watching them numerically, the numbers don't bear that out at all. You know what? Notre Dame, people, whatever you want to have opinion on FPI. No, right now, Notre Dame is sixth in FPI. You know what they were in 2012 entering the bowls? Fifth. You know what Notre Dame is? Number one strength of record both years.
Fast forward this part.
You know what Notre Dame is right now in offensive efficiency? 25th. You know what they were in 2012 going to that title game? 25th. You know what they are in defensive efficiency right now? 11th. You know what they were in 2012?
Top five.
10th.
Oh, wow.
It's like a mirror image,
wow,
statistically, of the 2012 team. Now, whether the results will bear out in the playoff once they get there after the win over SC remains to be seen.
Yeah, I know what Notre Dame fans would say, if they understand how FPI works and these efficiency metrics, is that with a small sample like we have in college football, you can't throw out games. And while a lot of people who look at Notre Dame now want to dismiss everything that happened pre-Ian Book being the starter, mm-hmm, you can't do that. So the 8-point win over Ball State, the 5-point win over Vandy, those count just as much as all the other games. That's part of what's holding them back.
Right.
Now, look, the 5-point win over Pitt doesn't look as bad now as
it did
at the time.
By the way, I did look. They're 11 with either Book or Dexter Williams in the lineup. So since the Wake Forest game, because Book didn't play, they're 11th at efficiency with one of those in the lineup. So it clearly has made a difference.
So did you think some Notre Dame people were going to get on you? That's why you went back and checked it?
No, I just present. I said a month ago that when before that stretch, what was the game before?
I think it started with Pitt.
I was going to say, was it the game, like after the Pitt game? It was before Northwestern, I think. Wherever they played on the 27th.
Yep.
Was it Navy it might have been that week? Like that stretch had come up, and I was like, they're going to win out, and they're going to the playoff.
Yeah.
So I've been saying that for a month that they're not going to.
I said it at the beginning of the year. So.
I know you did.
Navy played on the 27th.
Yeah, I think it was before that Navy game.
You and Trevor, by the way.
Yeah.
You and Trevor Maddich are the only two people who I saw with Notre Dame in the playoff preseason. Now, FPI really liked Notre Dame.
I saw the
playoff predictor had Notre Dame preseason's the fourth best chance to make the playoff behind Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. No better
than
Ohio State.
That's right. All right. It just sucks. There's nothing to talk about with the weird rankings.
Well, no, I think even with Saturday's slate, like we bagged on last Saturday and rightfully so, but considering that there are a couple of good games on Friday, the actual Saturday slate this week doesn't look a whole lot better than last week's. Now I realize that for name value, it does.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at point spreads, like, I mean, Alabama Auburn is not Alabama Auburn.
No,
you
know, it's in South Carolina.
CBS will sell it like it is, though.
They will. There's no reason to believe that game's going to be competitive. And I'm surprised the point spread's as low as it is for USC Notre Dame based on the way that those teams have played. So I really don't see the possibilities for the upsets. I mean, to me,
what about the Oaken Bucket?
Outside of Ohio State and Michigan, I think the second most interesting game on Saturday is LSU at A&M. That to me is the one I'm next
most looking
forward to.
And that's a weird number too. A&M, a 3-point favorite against a team that has absolutely manhandled them since they joined the SEC.
6-0, right?
Yeah,
6-0,
and like none of them really close, like in doubt.
Mm-mm. No, and I looked at that because all the one loss teams are begging for LSU to like get another loss, right, to get out of there.
I don't think that really matters though. I think you're going to see if Wazoo wins the Pac-12 or if Ohio State,
but just for some clarity before championship week, I think that'd be pretty big. Who's the best 3-loss team in America, Brad?
3-loss team.
We're digging deep.
We are digging deep. I don't have
Florida is the highest ranked.
There's no way it's Florida.
Penn State, Texas, Kentucky, Washington, Utah, Syracuse.
If I would entertain Utah, if not for their injuries recently, I right now would be between Texas and Washington with the teams that you just named.
I mean, Texas with Ellinger for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. A couple of weeks ago, you asked this question, and I had said Iowa State,
yep.
And that's no longer the case.
I said Washington then.
I thought Utah was set for a little bit of a regression last week, going on the road with Shelley as a starter for the first time. And for a half, Colorado did what they've done the last six games. Get ahead early, score first, go into half, you're right in the game, and then absolutely lay down like dogs in the second half.
Is it too easy to say you're more confident Wazoo will win than West Virginia?
No, I'm more confident that West Virginia will win this week.
Really?
Yeah, I would
How is it hard
same.
To have a lot of confidence in one Wazoo
yeah.
against a team that they haven't beaten in forever?
Because West Virginia's never beaten Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, but
so here's the thing. Okay, yeah, we all know the phrase, defense travels. Well, if that defense that we've seen in Norman the last 2 weeks travels to Morgantown, they're going to lose.
It's 84.
That sounds about right.
84.
I know that's absurd.
And
if you're West Virginia, as a fan of either Oklahoma State or West Virginia last week, that game had to be incredibly frustrating to watch.
Oh, God.
You're West Virginia.
31-14.
You get four turnovers. You're up 17, and you can't hang on and win. Or if you're Oklahoma State, you're sitting there, good grief, we've given the ball four times away. We should be winning this game easily, and then they finally pull away. But if you're West Virginia, after all of that, you can say what you want about their chances to get to the playoff. I don't think they were getting to the playoff regardless of what happened last week. Now you're home and you win this week and you still control your destiny to get to the Big 12 championship game. You lost the game and you lost whatever slim chance you had of the playoff, but in the grand scheme of things, you really didn't lose a whole lot. I mean, it's right there in front of you still.
Yeah. No, it's crazy for me to think, though, that for all of the talk about Oklahoma this year, and you know they haven't missed a beat with Kyler Murray replacing Baker Mayfield and all that. And I think for the most part that is true. Certainly offensively that's true. It's crazy to think that at the end of the day on Friday, I mean just hours from now basically, that Oklahoma could be completely out of the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah.
I mean not even playing that last weekend. That is That shakes me like a little bit, just because they've just been such a big part of all these scenarios that we've been throwing out.
So yeah,
it was a game in
2009. Yeah. So one more point. Apple Cup. If Washington wins,
yep,
it keeps alive
yes.
until the final weekend. The scenario,
yep.
one of the chaos scenarios. Yes, that's the best one we have. The one that would give UCF
Tell
a fighting chance, which is essentially that Washington State does not win the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Texas wins the Big 12, Northwestern wins the Big 10, and then the teams up top go undefeated along with UCF. What that means is that UCF is undefeated, and the challengers to them for that fourth playoff spot all have two or more losses, but all of the two loss teams are non-champions. The other three
Correct.
Power Five champs have at least three losses,
yep.
which puts the committee in a really tough spot.
And to make matters worse, two of those two lost non-champions would be, assuming they'd be fourth, it'd be Georgia and LSU,
yes.
two teams that would wind up, you'd get a rematch with Alabama in a game that we've seen already.
Yes, and so but here's another thing. If LSU wins, then Georgia's pretty much out because the committee's not going to put a two-loss Georgia ahead of a two-loss LSU because of the 20-point head-to-head. Same thing if Ohio State beats Michigan.
Yes.
And then Ohio State loses to Northwestern, which I think is more likely in the Big Ten championship game for Ohio State to lose it, then Michigan is basically out of the conversation because they're not going to put Michigan in over Ohio State.
Two losses.
Yeah. And so I think if you're the committee and you're asking the question, can I say that LSU or Ohio State is unequivocally better than UCF? That's tough.
All right. We'll come back to this playoff. There's a lot. We'll get you out of here on this one, Brad. All right. Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame win out. Northwestern wins the Big Ten. Wazoo loses tomorrow in the Apple Cup. And Texas wins the Big 12. Who's the fourth team?
Wait, what did you say about UCF?
Wins out.
So isn't that what we just said?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So who's getting in?
I think if LSU beats A&M and Ohio State beats Michigan in order to get there, then UCF's in.
Okay. You say Georgia?
I think if LSU loses, then I think you could make a really good case for Georgia still being unequivocally better than UCF.
I say UCF gets in.
I don't think that. I don't think UCF gets in.
Okay.
I think it would either be Ohio State or LSU.
That would be terrible, though, to watch Alabama LSU turn around and play again in the next game.
Yes, it would be awful. Yeah, you got to put UCF.
I don't think that's my main. Because
point.
I think where
could you see Georgia other than fourth in that scenario? You'd have to put them in fourth. Alabama's still first. There's no way around it.
UCF.
Even though I think Georgia's better than LSU, they did lose to him by 20.
That's the thing that screws everything up. Because then that makes the SEC title game.
You play that game in a neutral field like Georgia Auburn did in the SEC championship game last year. You probably get the same result.
Yep. Brad, thank you very much. I know you got places to go. College Game Day, ESPN Radio, Campus Conversation.
That's about it.
That's it.
If you watch SportsCenter at the right time, you can catch it at the right time.
Yeah. Thanks again, brother. We'll get you before the Bulls. Thanks again to Brad for coming on there. We thought we were going to have a bunch of stuff to discuss, and then the rankings, or I should say Saturday happens. Nothing really happens in the top, you know, no shakeup. So, what I want to do is have Brad on for our bowl podcast once the bowl games get announced. I want to do a little story time because you guys were obviously roommates. I was going to say
the one thing we didn't talk about there, which I can remember, which was so funny, was 2003.
Uh-huh.
When you had USC, Oklahoma,
yep,
and LSU. And can you remember it coming down to, I think it was a Hawaii Boise State game, maybe late at night, where like if Hawaii won, that would mean that USC was going to go to the BCS championship game.
Uh-huh.
But if Hawaii lost, it would mean LSU was going to go to the, and I can remember Remember, Oklahoma got upset by Kansas State, but they were number one in the BCS, and they weren't going to fall. We knew USC was going to be three, was going to potentially be out regardless of the BCS title game. And I can remember, like the joy of like Brad, like crunching these numbers and figuring it out. And like Herb Vincent, who was the SID at LSU at the time, texting me like throughout the day, like, "Are we in? Are we in?" And then finally being able to say, If Hawaii loses, you're in, and like that happening, and he loves the fact that like I was like myself and Brad were the people that like told him this is what needs to happen for you to be in the BCS, and when this happens, you're in. But it was great. We had so many great stories. But remember one night we stayed up all night with the Route 66 Texas UCLA. Like at the time, we didn't have this massive database. And we had like a book of old polls. So we were like up all night one year, the year after 66-3, to see what like the largest margin of defeat was by a top 10 team the previous year, where they met them the following year to see if any of them had come back and won. I don't think we ever got a definitive answer. But just picture like Brad and myself with media guides spread out throughout the floor, just going through, hey, okay, they lost by 47. Let's put that one on the list. And it was just no sleep, but it was worth it even if we didn't get a definitive answer.
2003, 18th ranked Boise State, 45, Hawaii, 28.
Yeah.
Look at you on your game. So I want to do some story time with some old roommates. What are you most fired up for this weekend? Obviously, you're going to Columbus.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
Just to see if Michigan, we always from the good part of the 90s, it was Michigan. This was
crazy.
Ohio State's helmet game.
Yeah.
And now it's Michigan's helmet game, and you're favored to win at a place that you haven't won in 2000 since 2000. You got Urban Meyer, as you know, is an underdog, has been great. He hasn't been an home underdog since his days at Utah. You look at Urban Meyer, I think he's lost 10 games at home in his career. Only four of them have been by more than 4 points. There are a lot of historical – you look at – while Michigan's defense is great,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give you – but they faced one offense this year that's in the top 35 nationally in offensive efficiency, and that was Notre Dame week one. When Book wasn't even there. Dexter Williams wasn't there. So they weren't the same offense that they were. Now, they have fallen into a couple of really good spots for their defense. Hornibrook, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State, McSorley was hurt. Nebraska, I think, was the first game back for Martinez after he was hurt. Michigan State's inept. Rutgers, awful. Northwestern without Larkin. Their defense has played a lot of bad offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State's eighth in the country in offensive efficiency. They're going to test them. Now, the one equalizer could be, and the one thing that it's holding me off on picking Ohio State, which is the side I would lean to, is the weather. If it's pouring rain like it's supposed to, that's going to limit the Ohio State passing game, I think, and that will make it more of a Michigan type of game, because Ohio State's offensive line is terrible. They're not going to win. They're not going to win at the line of scrimmage. They're not going to be able to run between the tackles, because that ain't going to happen. It would be the spread them out, one-on-one matchups, quick screen, all that stuff. And if it's pouring, that's going to negate that.
Two things I've watched in last week. You know, you watch that Maryland game against Ohio State, and the offensive line for Ohio State is so inconsistent to me, because there's times where they're on the same page.
66 and 59.
Whoa. But I also look at Michigan's secondary. And if they're that good, Michigan wins this game easily. As good as Ohio State's skill guys are, they still really don't separate. You know, Haskins has done it. I mean, that drive to tie the game at the end of regulation was as good as I've seen. And it was, you talk about making throws where only the receiver can get it because the defensive back is still on him. I think it was like three or four times on that drive alone.
Yep.
And you mentioned the weather, but I think Michigan's secondary is elite. And I think I think they are going to blanket these guys, and I think Ohio State's going to have trouble scoring. Now, on the other side, I think Michigan's going to have trouble scoring.
Correct. I agree.
So I look at this game, I see under. Right now it's 56.5. I like that.
That's a lot of points.
I like the under there. And if I had to pick a side, I would take Ohio State.
Gosh, I remember a couple of years ago, I loved the under in this game as well, and it was a dead under, and somehow the game got to overtime, and it wound up going over.
Yep.
Brutal.
It's
never under till it's over, right, Chris
Andrews?
Correct,
Chris Andrews. Good luck to you out there. Hope you're listening, feeling better. There's too many zeros in the loss column with all these Ohio State and Urban Meyer trends as an underdog. So if I had to pick a side, and I still might for the column, if I'm going to pick this game, I'm going to take the points, because I could easily see Michigan, you know, winning by 1, 2, 3 points.
I can remember a tweet of yours from the NCAA tournament leading up to the first round or the second round. I think it was the second round.
Okay.
And you had a tweet of things I haven't heard this over the last couple of days. And it was like whomever, and all of them won.
Yeah.
Have you heard anybody pick Ohio State to win this game? Outside of you. Have you heard anybody?
I heard Reese Davis doing an interview this week where he just kept bringing up the things that along this line that he hasn't heard, and how Michigan has been as close as possible, and they've had serious issues closing this game out. So I think Reese is with me with Ohio State, but to your point, no, I haven't official picks. No, I haven't heard.
Could you ever have imagined Ohio State being the contrarian pick in this game? Never. Well, from what was it? Ohio State -9 at the start of the year, I think it was. Now they're a freaking dog. By the way, Wazoo, I think, was a 14-point dog in the look-ahead line on the Apple Cup as well. So
there's a couple of scary ones out there. I'll tell you another one that no one is picking is USC to cover.
Oh, that number, I think, opened up, I think, at 8. Now it's up to like 11.5 in some spots. If you hopped on Notre Dame minus the 8 early, you want to take some back. You got a nice field goal middle right now.
Nice. That game scares me. I like Notre Dame, but man, you talk about not hearing a person.
Here's another question. I'd love a man on the street.
I love doing those.
If you were a USC fan,
mm-hmm.
would you rather A, beat Notre Dame to keep them out of the playoff, or B, fire your head coach?
A.
I don't think
USC fans hate Notre Dame anymore.
I don't think they do either. I think there's a lot of that with their head coach right now. Which,
correct.
So,
which
I hate. It's someone's job, but you don't really want to joke about it. And
no,
they're they've had it up to their eyeballs with some of the bad performances.
Off of a Pac-12 championship
and a Rose Bowl win.
Like
with a bunch of injuries and a true freshman starting quarterback.
It's crazy, man. Look at where we are there.
And you beat the
Bobby Petrino had the Heisman Trophy winner a couple years ago.
Yep.
Like good. Mike McIntyre was the AP coach of the year.
Yep. 2 years ago.
Man, like who wants to be a coach these days?
Me?
Yeah?
Yeah.
You do.
6 zeros in the paycheck, guaranteed money.
Stress every day.
I have stress every day now.
Nah.
Not like that, but.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't care who you are. You're feeling that stress. All right, let's get to some picks.
More picks.
Friday. Where do we go here?
I don't know.
Cincinnati. Is that not Friday?
Cincinnati is Friday. 19.5 against the Pirates.
I forgot. It's the game's at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I was looking for Cincinnati and visiting. Cincinnati hosting East Carolina. My man, Holton Ahlers, just balling out against UConn last week. 55, double nickel for the Pirates. You mentioned the Pirates need a win for the season win total. They're 19.5-point underdogs. The over-under is 50.5. I think Cincinnati gets back on track offensively. I think East Carolina scores enough points. And I like the over in this matchup between the Pirates and the Bearcats.
Speaking of overs,
yeah,
Cincy Temple, is that one of your over? We needed to pay homage to one of the worst defense. I almost gave out Temple. They're a 30.5-point favorite.
I am right there with you.
they're good. Temple's going to score 56 probably minimum.
Look at now. This is what's crazy. Temple's offense looked as good as anybody against UCF in a primetime spot on a Thursday night.
And then they really struggled last week.
Enormous spot. Can you imagine what that offense could do against UConn? And they're not even a quote-unquote great offense.
Right.
You know? But the mixture of running the ball and like, they might just say, you know what, let's just get out of here with a win. You know, so that's what scares me about giving 30.
Yeah, I think Collins.
UConn might be able to score one or two touchdowns.
I think there's a little bit of a satisfaction for a lot of these schools in the Northeast to really just crush UConn.
Because like, they have a good girls basketball program?
Well, they do. Hoops team off, men's basketball team off to a good start as well.
Oh,
but
I've heard from
like,
them.
They are at the bottom. It's kind of like some of like the Big Ten schools when they play Rutgers.
Yep.
They just want to absolutely crush Rutgers to like keep anybody from New Jersey even considering going to Rutgers. I think it's kind of the same team on a smaller scale with UConn. Like, why the heck would you want to go there when we're beating them by 40 points?
All right.
I think it's a little bit of the same thing.
So, all right.
I don't know. Gosh, I still might give that Temple minus 30 and
all
right.
a half. Well, you have plenty
of time
50, to do that.
They score 56. That'll probably be a cover.
Back to the American over Cincinnati, East Carolina, 50.5. Lay it.
I touched on a Big Ten team before. We hit Maryland, 13-point dog at Penn State. I know it's easy to think that they're going to be absolutely deflated after last week's game. But if they haven't, if they haven't given up on the season yet, they ain't given up against James Franklin in State College on Saturday either. Penn State has been a terrible double-digit favorite this year, and they covered that game at Illinois. But the last couple of times, they've lost outright, actually, the last few games that they've been a double-digit favorite, which, yeah. What, last year, 66-3 they beat him. You don't think there's going to be a little bit of a payback?
That's what I was going to check.
Yeah, last
there was a couple late ones.
Oh, yeah, which was what the case was with Michigan last year, nearly going in again. But, yeah, 66-3 last year. Failed to cover each of the last three games as double-digit favorites versus the Big Ten. Maryland's still a ton to play for to get to a bowl game. I know it's McSorley's final home game. They'll want to send him out with the win. But offensively, they struggle this year. I think they're going to have a lot of problems with that mission, that Maryland offense, that running game as well. Give me the Terps plus the 13, and maybe you can find a rogue 13.5 out there still as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some 13.5s out there. Man, I would love to see Maryland win this game. Obviously, we have them for season win total over, but just for them to go to a bowl game, it'd be really cool. But yeah, 66-3. These are two quarterback runs, by the way, by Penn State with 3 minutes left.
Tommy Stevens or McSorley?
Tommy Stevens. Yeah. You know, just getting a little quarterback run in there against the Terps in a 52-3 game. But Penn State's offense, I don't know. I don't know if my man McSorley's all right. I hope he is because I love him. But we'll see. That's really an interesting game and plenty on the line for win totals and all that kind of stuff. I think we are good. Oh.
You were going to Saturday. I think that's
there's one more on Friday. And it's Virginia at Virginia Tech. Ooh. Last year, ooh, I gave this out in Virginia, and it was the right side. I don't care what anyone says. And they just couldn't score.
Was this to the 10 nothing, right?
Yeah, they couldn't score. You want to talk about some
I think they can score this year.
You want to talk about some want to win? This is going back. Bear, you talk about some want. 2003. The last time the Wahoos got this done.
And they were favored. They were favored a couple of years ago in Lane Stadium.
Yes.
I think Virginia Tech might have needed that game for a bowl, if I remember.
I think you're right.
And they need to win out to get to a bowl this year, too.
I got to go back, and I'm going back for some money that was mine left on the tables. Virginia, -4. I just think, like I said, we talk about how there's, a lot of ugly games this week. You know, Brad talked about, what was it, top three teams are all playing unranked teams, obviously double-digit favorites. The mindset of that underdog, no, and I know those kids didn't play in all, 15 games, but to know what it's like and to be that close last year and to know you're better this year, I know they're on the road, but I'll lay the four with the Wahoos.
Does that matter, though, with how poor the Virginia Tech defense has been this year?
I hope not. what I'm trying to say is there's no measuring the want.
Correct.
That you'll have out of Virginia.
I totally agree. And I think, I'm not sure, while I don't think the want on the other side is going to be as great as the want on that one.
Yeah.
Especially just, gosh, if they made.
There you go, just hunger.
Miami was able to put 30-something on the board on them last week with how poor the Canes offense has been lately.
I like the Cavs. Wahoos, Chris Long, get it done, -4. Sir, go.
Utah State nearly lost to Colorado State. And that reverse overturn, long Hail Mary touchdown. It shouldn't have been that close. While, yes, they probably did look ahead in that game to the game, they really need to win this week at Boise. It shouldn't have been in that situation. But I think how close they came to losing last week showed that they clearly didn't have their focus on that game. Looking ahead at Boise, 3-point underdog on the blue turf. I know Boise beat Fresno as a home dog. to put themselves in a position to get to the Mountain West Championship game again. Fresno had that game seemingly under control. They were up 17-3 before it all went bad, and they kind of took their foot, I don't want to say took their foot off the gas, mm-hmm. but I think they thought they had the game under control with that defense. Utah State's offense, I think, is more dynamic than Fresno State's offense. I think if they get in that position, if they are able to get up on a Boise defense, which has lost some guys to injury this year, I don't think they'll let up. I think they'll keep going with Love just because they don't want to let Boise back in the game.
Correct.
Utah State's in a position to win, to get to the conference title game, which that doesn't happen often there.
No.
Without Boise, has dominated this league. I'm going to take Utah State plus the 3.
Are you?
At Boise, setting up a Fresno-Utah State Mountain West Championship game.
Better team.
I think Utah State is a better team.
That's a great point by the look ahead. Because I had them circled last week, just knowing how bad Colorado State's been, and I'm like, I'm glad I laid off, even though we didn't have a successful week for the first time all year. But that was real interesting to me. I'm just glad to watch a game Saturday that we got some defense. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Boise plays some defense now. You know, back on the blue. That's going to be interesting, man. It's like the old big brother that you keep knocking and trying to get shots in on.
Yep.
And
they answer every
Utah
time.
Utah State, if you just think about how if Michigan State doesn't figure out that last couple drives,
they're
looking right at UCF.
I was going to say they're right there with UCF. I think UCF would probably still be ahead of them because I think last year still matters for I think their perception. They're still subliminally they can't help but know they're on a 23-game winning streak, but it would be a good debate.
Yeah. So that's 3. Utah State plus 3. A couple others I was just looking at. Colorado, I don't think has a chance at Cal. That's just a bad scene. We talked about LSU A&M with Brad. I kind of like Arizona State in the Territorial Cup. And that's like suicide betting, that game.
That's
like
a total.
Just go back and look at it. Like, you want to talk about an underdog? It's like that run the Holiday Bowl had in the 2000s. Like, double-digit dogs just winning on the field like no other. This game is as crazy as it gets. Really interested to see both of these coaches' handling of this game and see how these teams come out. Because I could see Herm just letting it fly, and you know someone's going to let it fly. Arizona could not have looked worse up in Pullman last week. But, you know, what's key is we used to do, Bear, at Stanford, Cal Week, we would play Washington State the week before. And, you know, you come in on Sunday, you watch the game you just played, and then, you know, you get, you know, not really much on the coming week. You would wait for that on Tuesday morning. Sunday, we would never watch the Washington State film. We would just come in, let's get ready for Cal. Mm-hmm. So, like, you think about someone with a new program, like, hey, this is how I do things, you know, and Herm, who God only knows what's going to get in, but I can guarantee you his number one thing when he took this job is he knows he has to beat Arizona.
Yep.
And I just think it'll be really interesting to see these two teams. Obviously, they're not in the rankings or anything, but you two schools that hate each other, this is awesome. And the underdog always seems to have the better hand here. But I like Arizona State here. I think they're pretty darn good offensively. If Wilkins is right, they got plenty of toys to play with.
Did we not say last week how much that line stunk? Or did we not say how much that line stunk? Oregon totally dominated the game, and you got that play in the end zone with Harris. Oregon was so much the right side on that game, and they didn't cover.
Cost us our first week under 500.
It's bound to happen.
Not for nothing. What else you got? Hold on. I thought I saw something written on your pad. Are you calling an old girlfriend, an old ex?
Yeah, I couldn't make it through the season without reconnecting with an old friend who lives in Bloomington, Indiana.
You up?
I couldn't help it. I needed to dial up the old Hoosiers and say,
you waited all season.
I couldn't stay away. Like,
wow.
I know you need a little bit of a lift to get to a ball game. I just wanted to call and say hello and see how you're doing. And I know you're a home underdog this week in the bucket game. And I really think you got a great shot to win this week.
Final straw. This is it. Indiana football and the Bear.
But seriously, Purdue, after blowing that lead, triple overtime, totally gassed on defense. I know Indiana had the game at Michigan last week that they were in for a good amount of time.
Uh-huh.
But winner goes to a bowl, loser doesn't. Purdue, since that win over Ohio State, really his fortunes have fallen south. Indiana, hello, how are you?
I just want, like,
getting four.
You were
four
there.
And a half.
You were there for that night against Ohio State, and they've won one game since, and that was a pretty lucky.
That was
win
the
Iowa
game that they really easily could have lost.
But for all that, Purdue possibly might not go to a bowl game.
I know.
That's amazing.
You look at all their losses. The first three losses of the year, easily could have won all of them.
Every game.
Last week, easily could have won. Michigan State, game they easily could have won.
Yep.
There's another game in there that they lost that it was a 50-50 type game too. I forget.
Missouri. Well,
the first three, yeah. Missouri overturned in the replay in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smoked by Minnesota. But yeah, like, of all that, you think about with Purdue, and that's why I think he has to take the Louisville job, right?
Well, it depends. In that division, you're in a division now with some guys coming back next year, and you're looking at a league that Northwestern just won that side of the bracket, and you're telling me we can't play and potentially do the same thing that they're doing. Are you going to rather stay there, or you want to go to a place that you're going to have to deal with Clemson every week? And Florida State's going to get better. You want to go to
that? Yeah, but I also have confidence in myself. I want to worry about one team. Big Ten, there's way too many other factors. I know the money.
I think where they are right now, it's easier for him to play for a conference championship where he is right now than it is at Louisville where you're – but.
Maybe they get rid of all divisions in conference.
I was going to say, that would be great if they took them up on our idea.
Yeah.
We'd like that.
We would. All right. Well, Bear's going back. Late night texting with his old boo. Boo in Indiana. We mentioned Notre Dame, SC, like, office pool. Like, hey, I can't take USC. Like, I just can't do it.
You laying it?
Yeah.
You laying the 11. Don't care about the big move.
I don't.
All money's good money.
I don't. I think they are legit, man. Ian Book is a huge. You talk about a kid that execute and those receivers, and that's why. Like, I don't look ahead too much, but those guys are a problem on the outside, and I don't care who it is. If it's Clemson, if it's Michigan, if it's Alabama, about moving the chains. The size of those wide receivers Notre Dame has. Is a huge factor.
By the way, I shouldn't say shocked, because I shouldn't be shocked by anything, but the reaction to people on Sunday when Matt Barry had said something about Notre Dame and Clemson or whatever it was, and I said, he was talking about how Notre Dame is legit and finally proven themselves, and I said, so you'll be taking them plus double digits against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And the reaction by some people that were appalled that I would suggest that Notre Dame was going to be a double-digit dog against Clemson. I'm like, Ed Salmon's told us last week they were a double-digit dog.
I guess they didn't listen to the podcast.
They still are a double-digit dog. Now, if you think you love Notre Dame plus the 11.5 or 12 or 11 that they're going to be, by all means, send it in. And the reaction by a lot of people made me think that that's going to be one. If that is the number, it's going to be one-way action on Notre Dame. And if you're like Clemson, you just wait. You just wait.
Just like in 2012 with Notre Dame and Alabama. Ended up at 10, I believe. It was over in the first 2 minutes.
You know what's not going over?
What?
my Old Dominion season win total. And I'm kind of pissed about it.
You can't be kind of pissed. You're either pissed
Here is their season. You beat Virginia Tech. It's a 28-point dog.
Mm-hmm.
You beat North Texas, who's 8-3. You lose 52-10 to Liberty, who's 4-6.
Correct.
You lose 37-35 to 3-7 East Carolina on a field goal with 46 seconds left. You lose 28-25 to 4-7 Charlotte, who just fired its head coach. You had an extra point blocked, and you went for two twice. That's how you, assuming they beat Rice, they're going to land on five.
Okay.
I'm kind of mad about my Wyoming win total, too.
Yeah, that's
they should win this week in New Mexico, and that's going to put them at six.
All right.
You know why they aren't going to go over the six and a half? Because they lost 17-13 to Hawaii with the backup quarterback, allowing a touchdown with a minute and a half to go in the game.
So you are, like, fully pissed.
Yeah, I had some time to do a little digging. I went through some conference odds to win conferences. FIU was 100-1.
Mitch and Paulie had Bruce Marshall. I think he has that ticket.
Yeah, I think he does.
100-1. And they're a dog this week against Marshall.
Home dog against Marshall. Wazoo was 75-1 at South Point to open, 100-1 at Westgate on August 20th to win the Pac-12. They can not do that four-letter word, it, again, in the Apple Cup. They're going to be favored against Utah in the Pac-12 title game. And you could be holding them at 100-1. Pitt was 60-1 to win the ACC. Northwestern 50-1 to win the Big Ten.
Wow. You know what game I'm kind of fired up to watch?
Tennessee Vandy.
Yeah.
winner goes to a bowl. Loser stays. Vols need the win to get to six.
One of my favorite videos on the internet. Vandy fans, please tweet it at me. I lost it. Is a couple years ago when they upset them. It's the Vandy frats, and they're just playing Rocky Top over and over. And there's three guys with keg cups that are trying to dance, and they just keep playing Rocky Top over and over after Vandy beat them. It's easily one of my favorite videos on the internet. Tennessee quarterback injury update. You got anything for me?
I haven't seen anything.
Didn't look good.
Garantano questionable.
Yeah. If he's out, I mean, that's a steal, I think, Vandy plus 3.5. Vandy minus 3.5. I think they're better. Senior quarterback. They're just more balanced than Tennessee. And Tennessee has been really, really above my expectations the last couple weeks. And that's a credit to that coaching staff in the offensive court. That's Clay Helton's brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Helton, right?
Yep.
Getting that offense going with not a lot to play with. But I like Vandy minus 3.5 there.
Two teams there with everything to play for.
I can't wait. Here's it's going to be awesome.
Here's an interesting game right here that Middle Tennessee is a small home dog against UAB, who the game – I don't want to say the game means nothing because people fell into that trap with Northwestern last week. But UAB's in the conference title game, short favorite. Middle needs the game to go over their season win total as well to get to 8. Just something worth watching. Who do you got in the rematch between Liberty and New Mexico State? Liberty, New Mexico State, part 2.
Can you imagine? Actually, you don't have to imagine.
You don't have to imagine. It is happening.
Liberty got roughed up last week at Auburn.
Yep.
I'm worried they got dinged up too much. New Mexico State, what's that line? 8.5? Who's getting?
New Mexico, the boys from Las Cruces.
This is at Liberty.
It's at Liberty.
Right?
It's a home and home. Yeah,
All right.
I don't know if this is the conference.
I'll take the 8.5.
Yeah. The conference. No, they're not in a conference. So the independent conference. Yeah.
I don't know.
Give me Liberty.
Or give me debt. What else? You can't take Louisville. I know it's a rivalry game.
Louisville's the only side you can get. The only side you can take is Louisville.
All right,
world's
disagree.
On Kentucky.
I'm taking Kentucky. I don't care.
Your boy's taking Louisville.
You?
No, not me.
Who's my boy?
Your boy.
I got a lot of boys.
The
Herbie?
No. The Dirty Terp. Your boy Van Pelt. You don't think
no,
so?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that marriage is over.
I don't think so.
By the way, I got a text like immediately after the Air Force Wyoming game from a buddy of mine who's friends with Dustin Fox who called the game.
Yeah.
And he's like, if Air Force Wyoming, he's like, and Dustin loves the Bad Beats. He, yeah. He's totally down with.
Oh, he got
Scott
in the show.
And he's like, he's going to be so disappointed if it. How about that? That was unbelievable.
But it's the right play.
It was the right play. The only way you have a chance to win is to get the ball back.
Unbelievable. And then just to see Air Force try and throw the ball. Yikes. Yikes. That's what I said. Who are they playing this week? Oh, they're playing Thursday.
Air Force State.
Colorado State.
And they need to win as a double-digit dog to go over. Actually, not as a double-digit dog, as a big favorite. They'll go over.
Air Force will not throw a pass in the first half. That's my prediction.
Will they throw a pass at all? They might just
that would be double.
They
up. Might, I would double
you
up
know,
on
I,
it.
I was going to say, I might consider laying the points with Air Force here.
Colorado State, rough loss against Utah State.
Air Force, the way they.
One of your sandwich spots.
Yeah, just kind of sandwich, end of season spot. Like that, with you showed last week at home, nearly pulled the upset, and now you're going on the road. After pacing, pass happy, up tempo, you got to face triple option now.
Yeah.
In what's going to be their last
good
game of the year.
Good call by you.
I might consider throwing that one.
Air Force is Colorado Springs, right?
Yes, sir.
Whoa, 58 degrees.
Be beautiful.
I was hoping weather. I love seeing that snow, Wyoming Air Force. That was great.
Couple of other trends.
Go ahead. Let's go, because I'm all out.
You're out?
I'm tapped out. I like Wisconsin a little bit.
Under Clay Helton, USC 1-11. That's both straight up and against the number as an underdog.
As an underdog.
They were a double-digit dog twice. Lost those two games to Ohio State and Alabama by a combined 76-13.
Give me the Irish.
Kind of agrees with your Irish.
Although, I got one for you. Keep going.
Oklahoma State.
Oh.
2-10 against the number. Last 12 games as a favorite. 1-8 against the number. Last 9 games as a favorite in Big 12 play. And they failed to cover the last 4 times after pulling an outright upset, as they did. Now that's a hold your nose spot if you're taking the Horned Frogs this week, but the numbers
Yikes.
Suggest Oklahoma State could be a little bit of a letdown. Duke, big favorite this weekend, 2-13 against the number in their last 15 games as a favorite in ACC play.
Yeah, I don't like that. I got a number on Clay Helton for you. Clay Helton has lost 2 home games as the head coach of USC. There's last 2 home games.
I was going to say, I know one was the Arizona State game.
In Cal. Just for the people. How about our guy Chipper last week? Big win.
Take it easy this week, Chipper. We were joking around. Like Kirk was saying, like, Chip was probably more excited that I picked UCLA to win on the board and they won than he actually was the fact that they won the game.
That's so true. We'll take it easy, though, this week, Chipper.
Be careful.
Please. All right. We got to play Cal next week. We'd like to go into bowl season red hot. I started looking at
Foster Farms Bowl, maybe Vegas Bowl, maybe.
They got Arizona. I've been
Sun
looking
Bowl,
at
El Paso.
No. We already went there 2 years ago, and we went to the Alamo. That's out. Here's what I'm thinking. This could be a possibility. Vegas right now they have Arizona State, so maybe we need Arizona. That would screw one of our picks though. Or the Cheez-Its Bowl in Phoenix. I could use a quick.
Is that the former Insight.com Bowl?
Yeah,
is that what
I believe
it?
So. But I think they play it right in Phoenix at the Diamondbacks place.
Yeah.
I could use a quick 2-day trip day after Christmas to Phoenix. Scottsdale, feel me?
I never turned out.
Where are you going to be the day after Christmas?
Day after Christmas, I will probably be flying to Miami. Or I'm assuming game day is going to be in Miami as opposed to Dallas. I don't know that for a fact, but I'll be flying to wherever our game day show is going to be that weekend. And then if we're not in the spot of the game that Kirk and Chris will be calling, I'll do what I did a couple of years ago. I'll go leave show, fly from wherever game day is to the game, which will be the other semi that they'll be calling if it's not the same spot. Then the next day we'll fly to L.A. to do the Rose Bowl. And then the day after the Rose Bowl, we'll go to Santa Clara. Get ready for the title game because it's not a huge turnaround this week, this year.
Are you going to be in Santa Clara for like a week?
No, not really, because the title game's on the 7th, and the Rose Bowl is the 1st, so it'd really be like 5.
You hang down there as much as possible.
I could hang. I was going to say, maybe I could take
nothing
I could take a, I could take a comfort day in Pasadena, or a comfort day.
How about Vegas?
I was going to say a comfort day a couple of hundred miles to the northeast.
Yeah. Outside chance, me and the Bear will be at the Vegas Bowl together.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
Got some season win totals that I need to cash.
Yeah. Outside chance. Depending on who plays, we're looking at a couple things.
That'd be fun.
All right. Moneyline.
Moneyline other than the dog.
I got a rule for you.
Okay, give me a rule.
Moneyline this week has to be a double-digit dog.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's find one. Do you have one already?
I got one.
Well, I wasn't expecting the...
I didn't know the new rule.
The new rule. That's okay. We can adjust to new rules.
If you didn't give out Maryland, would you take Maryland?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
You know what's back this week? Holy War.
I'm looking at
that. Talk about hatred.
Yeah, it is.
Utah's got nothing to play for.
You're right. Other than beating your rival.
Yeah, but they want to win next week. I would take Wake Forest. Moneyline, Wake Forest.
That's not a bad play at all. You think Nebraska can beat Iowa? Good for them, by the way, last week. Winning a game like that.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Go Huskers. Go Big Red. I also got a little Maction one.
You're not picking Central Michigan to beat Toledo, are
you? No, Kent State.
Against Eastern Michigan?
Yeah.
See that.
I'll go Wake Forest, though.
I like that one. I can't pick the axe. I don't think the axe even comes out of storage anymore.
Well, there's only one axe. That's a Stanford axe.
Paul Bunyan's axe, I'm sorry. Right. Well, the one that permanently lives forever in Madison.
Yeah.
That's not coming out of storage.
I like Wisconsin to roll in that game. You won't take BYU.
Could UTEP beat Southern Miss?
I haven't paid attention. UTEP
is a 13-point dog, home dog, Southern Miss.
Did you see what happened to UTEP last week?
I missed
first that. Four possessions ended.
Actually,
in
you know what? Troy is a double-digit dog at Appalachian State. They haven't been this big of a dog in a Sun Belt game in 3 years when they nearly upset Appalachian. Give me Troy as a double-digit dog.
You know what? I'm going to double that up and say this is his last game as a head coach at Troy.
Could be.
I think Neil Brown.
A lot of jobs opening up that he kind of fits.
There are so many guys I would love to hire if my job was open. Matt Wells.
Yep.
Obviously Ryan Day.
Yep.
He'd probably be a little picky. He's probably got the best pick of the litter.
Yeah.
Neil Brown.
Mm-hmm. Will Clark.
I mean, you got it, right? Maybe Nick retires and he just moves right over to Tuscaloosa.
I would doubt that will happen.
You got another name for me? Coaches?
Another name?
If Baylor beats Texas Tech, that's a good money line.
Well, it's not double digits.
No, I know. I know the rules. I made.
You make the rules.
If Texas Tech loses, is he gone?
That's tough. He might get saved because of the injury to Bowman.
I could see NFL teams lining up to fire him
totally.
As an offensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
You think Lincoln Riley's a coach in college next year?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I disagree.
Because I think there was a period there where it looked like Jason Garrett might be on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case now. Is there probably the favorite to win the NFC East? I don't think he goes.
That's just because the FBI says that. That's why you believe it.
What? So the Redskins minus their entire offensive line and Colt McCoy at quarterback, they're going to win the division.
Colt McCoy won a couple years ago on Monday night.
That Eagles team that you saw just give up a million points against New Orleans, they're going to
don't count the Eagles.
Stop.
They still play Washington twice. They could go to Dallas and win. Come on, no one in that. None of those teams are good.
No,
you know.
I heard someone trying to make a case for the Giants.
Win this week, and they could. Anything else? Columbus, and then you're flying out to L.A.
LA, yep.
And then back home that night in a red eye?
Right back.
Get out of here.
Absolutely.
All right, so you wake up at, let's say, 7 a.m.
No,
hold on. Wake up in Connecticut Friday.
I'll wake up 4 a.m. 4 a.m. 5:30 flight.
Friday, 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit to Columbus. Mm-hmm. Columbus.
In between, and radio show with McElroy and Zarzer, connection while going between flights and D2. That'll be a fun segment.
Okay.
Me, all, God, let that flight not be on time, and it'll be even more chaotic than usual.
All right. In Columbus Friday, go to bed in Columbus Friday night, wake up.
After a nice dinner at Giuseppe's where we watch Apple Cup and West Virginia, Oklahoma.
I might fly out.
So it's going to be late. This place is legit.
All right. Look at you all happy.
It's going to be great.
You a little Fra Diavolo?
No.
No?
Gnocchi here is to die for.
Okay.
Cacio e pepe.
You're so cultural.
I try to be.
All right. So then game day. Wake up 6 a.m.
Yes.
Saturday.
Yep.
Do the show. Right to the airport.
Sports Center hit 7:25.
Yep.
Dari and Mel, 7:45. Show.
Yep.
Right after the show, leave.
L.A.
L.A.
L.A. Game at 5 o'clock local time.
5:15 kick, whatever it is.
What time's the red eye?
11:50, I think.
All right, 11:50, probably land in Hartford Sunday morning. 10:25.
I think.
Through Detroit?
No. I think we're going through the ATL.
Oh, boy.
We're going through the ATL.
You get one of those cubbies that you could lay down in for a couple hours. They have those there.
Let's see the itinerary here. No, I'm pretty sure it's ATL.
Get those extra miles.
I'm going to be okay mile wise. It's going to be that MQ dollar amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 11:04 a.m. through Atlanta. Land at 6:45 in Atlanta. 2 hour window.
Yep.
Go to the Sky Club, clean up a little bit, grab a little breakfast.
All right. And home for the Jets. Patriots at 1.
Yeah, it'll probably be on.
Wow. So no one in America is traveling more than you between Friday a.m. and Sunday a.m. No one.
Probably not.
No chance. You got that going for you.
That's what we do.
Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Anything else? We're good?
Happy recap.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Forget that.
There was a lot thrown out today.
Did the condo developer come in?
Oh, good reminder.
And then in a big-time steamer condo pick that you can bet your condo on.
You might have to wait for Black Friday.
Wasn't pretty last week.
Have to wait for Black Friday with that.
Quarterback did get hurt. But the old steamer this week, we're going back to the Egg Bowl. He likes the favorite. Mississippi State minus 11 for the old condo steamer pick. Rivalries, double digits.
Laying double digits on the road.
That's the most steamer pick I've ever heard, though.
That has the feel of you're either winning by 30 or you're losing outright.
Absolutely. All right. Here is my Big Mike happy recap. It's like Big Mike's favorite weekend of the year, too. Tonight, Ansonia Naugatuck tomorrow. He'll be fired up. He already is. Probably already left work.
Are you going to go to Temple UConn, by the way?
I'm not going to Temple UConn. I'm not. Maybe next year.
Down in Philly?
Maybe the basketball game. All right, I'm starting Thursday night over in the Egg Bowl. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, 59. Friday, East Carolina, Cincinnati, over 50.5. Virginia, Friday, minus 4. Oklahoma, Friday night, minus 2.5. Washington, Friday night, plus 2.5. Vanderbilt, Saturday, minus 3.5. Notre Dame, Saturday, minus 10.5. Arizona State, we'll throw them in there. Minus 2, Saturday. And just for ha-has, the under and Ohio State, in the game Saturday. You, sir.
My money line parlay starts Thursday. You're laughing.
I love it.
It's my favorite part of the week.
This is going to take me through the whole weekend.
Starts Thursday.
Sure does.
Cincinnati, Ohio U, Texas, Missouri, Toledo, Georgia, FAU, Louisiana Tech.
I have an addition. You should throw Air Force in there.
I was going to say, you could potentially throw Air Force in there as well.
Do it.
Maybe you play a couple of them. Maybe you do one with Air Force and one without.
All right.
Or you could throw it in there, and then if Air Force happens to lose, you got, it's an early enough game where you got
there
time,
you
to,
go.
time to chase.
You got to think, you get to think all Christmas dinner.
Exactly. But we will go Louisiana Tech minus the 10.5 against the Hilltoppers, who are dreadful this year. Utah State plus 3 at Boise. The Noles plus 6.5 at home against the Gators. Maryland plus 13 at Penn State. And my old friend Indiana plus 4 at home in the bucket game.
Late night texter. All right. Well, obviously we got a lot in there. Want to say thanks to everybody out there. Have a great weekend. If you're listening to this, traveling, you know, doing whatever, getting dinner ready, helping the lady, ladies, if you're helping the guys right there, I know you're listening out there. But we want to say thank you to all you guys, because it couldn't be possible without you guys downloading, rating, listening. What else, Kyrie? Download.
Rate and review.
Rate and review. If you guys can, if you're still listening. But hopefully we have some fun, and hopefully we do some more work after Thanksgiving and get ready for championship Saturday and bowl season. But want to say thanks again to all you guys out there, because it wouldn't be possible without you. Happy Thanksgiving. Bear, take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.